May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. This story in Mark about the call of the first four disciples is one of those stories that comes up often enough in Bible study and in other places that I've had lots of conversations about it over the years. And one of the most common threads, the thing that always comes up when we read this story for most people is, wow, how could those people have just dropped everything and gone with Jesus? That's one of the things that really strikes you in this story, isn't it? That Jesus comes along the Sea of Galilee, and he says to Andrew and Simon, follow me. And Mark tells us immediately, not in 10 days, not after selling the house, not after checking in with their employer. Immediately, they put down their nets and they follow him. And then the same thing happens to James and John. Immediately, they get up and follow Jesus. And that feels quite remarkable to us, doesn't it? That Jesus would come along and they'd just drop everything and follow him. But I've been thinking about that a lot this week. Because actually, there are all kinds of things that we drop everything for. For example, I'm fairly sure if I announced I had two tickets to the Patriots game this afternoon, but you had to leave right now, I'm pretty sure I would have a bunch of you to drop everything and head to Foxborough. But most of us have, at one point or another, packed up and left family and friends and job, a new town, a new opportunity. Sometimes that happened really quickly. I've known lots of people who 1 week are happy in their job and 2 weeks later are starting someplace new in a different state in a different place. When I lived in Pennsylvania, I had a friend who was a volunteer firefighter. And if you've ever known volunteer firefighters, you know that no matter what time of day or what you were doing or what the plans were, as soon as that siren goes off, they are up and out of the house. They are gone. And they are gone to do something that always has the potential to be life-changing. Because they're going to go run into burning buildings. They know perfectly well every time they run out of the house, out of that gathering, there's a possibility they won't be back that night. There's a possibility they won't be back at all. And yet they drop everything instantly, immediately, to go and answer that call. There are, in fact, quite a lot of things in our life that we would indeed have the exact same response as the disciples did to Jesus. That opportunity so big, so wonderful, so amazing, that you are willing to leave behind family and friends and job and anything else that might get in the way and follow. Maybe the struggle for us is that for most of us, it hasn't been Jesus. And I think that's a challenge for us in the modern church. And the challenge is because it doesn't feel as clear to us as it did to the disciples when Jesus called, perhaps. But also because while we understand and we know why we might immediately drop everything for a new opportunity, maybe we haven't thought about how God might be that new opportunity. Maybe we've never actually considered what it would be like and whether we are able to say yes when God calls. And I think there are actually two pieces of being able to do that, being able to respond the way the disciples did. The first is trust. Let's face it, none of us would say yes to a new job if we didn't trust the folks making it. None of us would say, sure, I'll move across country. I'll pack up and leave everything I've known if we didn't have some trust in what was waiting for us there. We put our trust in things that we have assessed to be trustworthy. In the psalm today, the psalmist says, God is one of those things. The psalmist, in the first few verses, recalls some times when he was in distress and struggling and remembering that God proved faithful. And then he reminds Israel of their experience of God's faithfulness. And the psalmist says, trust in God. I think that's actually fairly hard for most of us. It's certainly something that I know I struggle with in my own life, to be able to have that full and complete and utter trust in God, especially since God has never yet sent me a certified letter telling me what he wanted me to do. But we have the witness of Scripture. We have the witness of the stories through the ages. We have the witness of the prophets and of the disciples and of Paul and of the early church and of the saints and of one another to remind us that God is indeed trustworthy, that that trust is well placed. And we have to practice that. It doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come naturally. But the first step to being able to say yes when God calls is to be certain and sure that we can trust the one who is calling. I don't know why Andrew and Simon and James and John had that immediate trust of Jesus. Maybe they knew him earlier. Maybe they'd been hearing about him. Maybe they just felt the pull of God in their hearts and knew what that meant. But that trust in Jesus is the first thing they have to get up and go immediately. And so do we. We need to cultivate that trust through prayer and through praise and through reminding ourselves of the stories of how God has acted through the ages, that God is trustworthy, and that we can put our whole faith and trust in him. And the second thing is a sense of urgency. You'll notice in all of our readings today, there is a sense of urgency. Jonah, for whom we'll note there was no sense of urgency, this is the second time God comes to Jonah and speaks to him, after quite an adventure with a fish, you may have heard. But the people of Nineveh, they hear Jonah's words, and they repent. There's a sense of urgency there. Destruction, disaster, the words of a prophet, we repent. Sackcloth, that should go all the way. Even the cattle become repentant. There's a sense of urgency. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we can feel Paul's urgency. The time is drawing near. We're running out of time. Commit yourself. Live as though you are so totally ready for the kingdom. There's no more time, Paul writes. There's this intense sense of urgency. And of course, in Mark's gospel, Mark uses the word immediately all the time. Mark has this constant sense of it has to happen now. We're running out of time. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe now. We're almost out of time. Do it now. That urgency is shared by Andrew and Simon and James and John. They don't say to Jesus, sure, absolutely, good idea. I'm just going to wrap up my affairs here, and then I'll catch up with you on the road. In Mark's gospel, there are a bunch of people who do that, actually, and every single time Jesus says, never mind then. If you're going to stay behind, if you're not going to act now, then there's no point. You've missed it. The Bible has this intense sense of urgency that God's kingdom is nearby, and now is the moment to act. But maybe we can be forgiven if we don't feel quite that same sense of urgency. We are, after all, singing the same hymns my great-grandparents sang, waiting for the coming of that kingdom. So if we don't feel quite the same sense of it has to be now that we follow, perhaps it is perfect. perfectly understandable. But there again, perhaps we need the words of Scripture to remind us that we may not have as much time as we think. That in fact, the kingdom of heaven may well be at hand. It may be at hand for us, anyway. How many times have we in our lives said, oh, there'll be plenty of time, only to discover that there isn't? Don't we all have somebody that we thought we would be able to say goodbye to? We thought we would have a second cup of coffee with? We thought we would have another opportunity to hang out with them, be with them? And they were called home to God's kingdom before we had a chance to do that? They were taken away. They were distracted. They discovered they were moving cross-country for that new job. We may not have as much time as we think. And so we need to come at this with a sense of urgency. God is calling us now to follow. God is calling us to change our lives, to commit to one another, to be part of something new. Now, a couple of years ago, my home parish merged with a couple of other parishes. It was a 20-year relationship. It was a good merger. People were really happy about it. It had been coming for a long time. Even 10 years earlier, when I was senior warden, we had had a hard time finding enough people to sit on the vestry, had a hard time getting a quorum, had a hard time finding enough folks willing to keep the building maintained and up to date. It had been an ongoing and constant struggle to hold the church together. So those of us who had been part of the church and actively involved were not at all surprised when the merger was announced. By the time that happened, I had already been here for a year or two. But I went to one of the closing worships. I took one of my vacation weeks that week so I could be with them as they closed. And the thing that struck me was the fact that we couldn't fit everybody into the sanctuary. There were so many people there. And every one of them, well, except for the ones who've been part of this journey for the last 15 years, were saying, what a pity it's closing. I didn't know this was going to happen. Why couldn't they find people to do this? They thought there was plenty of time and plenty of people. How could this possibly have happened? There's plenty of time. There are people who will follow. There are people who will say yes. It's all right if I haven't set foot in the church in the last year and a half, except for Christmas and Easter. It turned out there wasn't that much time left. And it turned out that follow me call really was for them in that moment. We often wait, hoping somebody else will say yes so that we don't have to go. I wonder if Zebedee is sitting there in the boat going, oh, thank God he didn't invite me. But the invitation that comes is amazing and glorious, and we'll only know about it if we say yes to it. Doing so means we are going to have to trust God. We're probably not going to know everything we want before we say yes. And it means we have to do it now. Not someday, not later, not when we get settled, not when we retire, not when we enter God's kingdom. We have to say yes now. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. Amen.